I have to admit, I had tears in this heartfelt interview with Lauren. And Lauren shares with us her three tips on how to manage running a salon and a family and not lose sight of yourself and the things that you want and that are important to you, or the connection with your kids. There's so much great stuff in this interview for us crazy people who try to have it all.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Hey, Lauren, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, look, let's start off by tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I am the owner of a super small hair salon called Signature Style Hair Design. And for the last couple of years, I have been branching out and kind of going back to my roots with some business consulting as well.
Mm-hmm. So tell us your journey from stylist to business consultant.
Well, my background is in business. My original training was in business. That's where I thought I would spend my life in my 20s. But began to think ahead that when I had a family at some point that I was going to have no time to have kids or enjoy my kids. So I actually, in my mid-20s, went back to school to do hair. And with that specifically in mind, and I remember my hair instructors just being completely horrified that that was actually my goal. They really wanted me to become a performing artist and all that. But it was really my dream. And so as soon as my daughter was born, after working in a bunch of swanky salons, I opened up my own space in a place that we moved to, didn't know a soul. My family didn't live in the country. So really started from the beginning, you know, with a new baby. Began to work from home and designed the business around the family so that I could spend time with them. There was a sort of some hiccups in the middle there where, you know, I didn't do the best job connecting well with my kids, and there were some signs of them being stressed after, you know, a couple years in, and I made some changes that really made a difference for the kids. They got a lot more settled, which was amazing, but contrary to what I expected, my profit actually went up at the same time. With those changes that I made. And that was 15 years ago now. My kids are now 16 and 18 and in high school. And those investments I made back then in my business and in connecting with them have just, I just can't tell you every year, every month, every day, the benefits that I see of that investment. But a couple years ago, 2 years ago, actually right now, I blew a disc and had to lay down for 3 months and had to refer my clients out because I couldn't even stand. And I kind of got me thinking, you know, when I'm better, I completely believed I was going to be better. What was I going to do? Did I want to go back to the same number of hours I was working, or did I want to do something different? And as I was really thinking through that over a couple months, you know, an opportunity came my way to get into business consulting, which I was like, just love it, because it's kind of my roots as far as, you know, my business training and the way that I think. So for the last 18 months or so, I've been working with a lot of salon owners and a lot of other types of businesses, specifically businesses that are run by moms and who are struggling with managing all of the hats that we wear and, you know, how to do that. So I still actually am behind the chair about 10 hours a week. Not that much anymore. Still love my clients, but also love connecting with business owners and help and watching and seeing their businesses just flourish in the way that they haven't expected, and then seeing their families flourish as well.
Well, this is exactly the reason that I was really excited to have you come on the show, because I see so many salon owners struggling with both of those hats. You know, we have to be there for our clients, we have to be there for our team, and then we go home and we have to be there for our kids. And, you know, poor husband gets left at the bottom of the pile of there. Well, actually what happens is we get left, you know, as the business owner and as the mum, we get left at the bottom of the pile. And I totally remember feeling like this myself as a business owner. And that's why I was keen to have you on the show, because I know you have some really great tips and that you're going to share with us today. How do we juggle it all? Who do we need to be so we don't lose sight of ourselves and we can be the business owner that we want to be, and we can be the mum and the hus- the wife, I should say, that we want to be. How can we do it all? So thank you so much for joining and sharing some of your knowledge.
Thank you.
All right. Well, why don't we jump into tip number one? What have you got for us?
Well, one of the things that really turned things around for me business-wise was when I really got tired of doing everything for everyone, maybe in more areas than my business. But of course, what happens in our hearts happens in every part of our life, in our lives. And I had over several years been working on boundaries and really paying attention in my heart about what I really wanted, because I had grown up learning, like many of us women do, that what I want is relevant, and looking after others was what I saw modeled. It's what I did. It's what I felt the best doing for years and years, until I just got tired, of all that, and discovered that actually what I want matters, and actually what I want is a really beautiful, a beautiful indicator of what fuels my soul, and what my point on being on the planet is about, is what I want, and actually helps direct traffic a lot. So one of the ways that I helped figure that out in my business specifically was drawing a picture of a pie and making, you know, like spokes on a wheel inside that pie, like you're cutting it up, but writing in every piece of that pie all the things that I carry in my head. So this was for business, but it kind of goes across for family. So there were parts of my pie that were business related, all the things that I think about with my business, all the things I think about with my family, and then writing in there what say 1 to 10, what's my satisfaction level with each one of those. And holy man, there were some really obvious pieces of that pie that were completely, like, they were like minus 10 for me. And some of them were really high, and it really gave me an awesome visual. It's an amazing exercise to do with yourself. Seriously, it takes 5 minutes. And it helped me to see the path forward, that the things that were completely making me exhausted, I needed to get rid of them. I need to stop doing that. So I resigned from several volunteer things I was doing that were in an area, incidentally, working with children, that turned out there was a theme that working with other people's children exhausted me. So there were some things I needed to do there to clean up doing less of what I didn't like, less of what was tiring me. And then how that translated in my business was when I looked at my business, and I'm just thinking as I'm talking to you, that you could do this as one single pie, or you could do a family pie and a business pie. And I'm going to talk about it like you have done a business pie. And I really looked at all the services I was offering, you know, perms, color, cut, you know, corrective color extensions, whatever. And when I really came down to it, the one thing I cannot live without creatively is doing color. I love cutting. I did a lot of advanced training in cutting, but color is where I come alive, and where people always talk about my colors. So it really helped me to notice when it came to perms, I'm like, I would rather poke myself in the eye than ever do another perm. So, you know, it became really clear to me, I just needed to get rid of every perm client I had, which I didn't have that many because I didn't like it that much, and really pay attention to, I loved haircutting, but one of the things I noticed in my calendar as I progressed in my thinking was that when I looked at my 8-hour day, say if I was working an 8-hour day, I could end up with 8+, maybe 9 haircuts in a row, one after the other. And that was 8 conversations, 8 rebookings of appointments, 8 paying their bill. And at the end of the day, I was completely exhausted relative to the day that I did 3 or 4 colors. And income was higher doing the colors, and I was less tired. So it became really clear that just shifting it up to follow what I loved was completely liberating. On the tail end, the part that was challenging was now I had to talk to my clients. And I got really good at that by just, you know, saying, you know what, I've been evaluating my business, and one of the things I'm really noticing about myself is I love color, and I'm needing to, because you come just for a haircut, I've been doing some research, and I've found a couple people that I'd recommend that you go to, that would do a really great job, because I'm not able to have people here anymore who just have color. or just have a haircut. And I haven't said that as well as I did. And I'm happy to send you all scripts about what I used, because I do forward that a lot to people. So I basically just invited people out to other stylists that I, that were just getting haircuts only. And so what that meant in my, in the scheme of a month, was I had very few days where I had back-to-back haircuts, you know, because people get haircuts in between colors a lot, you know, that happens. But just redesigning that schedule for me was, it changed everything. My income went up because I really looked at my, you know, pricing properly so that my price per hour was more in line. So that didn't matter if they came for haircut or color, my income was up. And my energy level really changed. So, and I know there's multi-factors as to why it changed. One was not having as many clients in the day. One was I did more of what I loved. I made space for new clients to come who got the services that I love to do. And I was making more money and I was able to trim my hours. So that would be probably my big business tip that's kind of linked to a few other things.
I really love that. And I think mostly because, you know, you looked at what you loved and what you didn't love and felt empowered enough to do it and take action and change it. And actually, not only did you feel better, but you earned more.
It's crazy.
I think that's really powerful. So let's get those scripts off you and we'll link it into the show notes. So anyone else who wants to take action like that can do so. Thanks for that, Lara.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, the scripts are actually linked to three business mistakes I made early in my salon. So it'll be all included in one.
Perfect. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. I can't wait to hear what your tip number two is.
Well, the next tip I have for you is really about my family, because I really designed my business to serve our family. And in the first two years, my kids were really young. Things were really smooth and there was a transition, and I don't know what all was the reason why, but there was, came a point when my daughter was about three that she would start screaming at random times. And I had no idea what this was all about and was very concerned about it. And she was a very calm child. This was not a normal thing. And so I knew something was up and I really had no idea. And over a period of circumstances discovered that I was the reason. And it was because I was distracted and not available to her in the way that she needed. And it was because of my business. So figuring that out was absolutely a gift. I loved learning that, as much as it was hard to hear. It really helped me know that I could do something about it. Mm. And the beautiful thing I learned that I love to share with other moms who are in that situation is that the time that I was with my kids, I was kind of with them, but distracted. And so what I really changed was this. Was that I would spend 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes, I'd leave everything I was doing, you know, and with the salon is different because I'm with clients, but when I was with the kids, I'd be with them 10 minutes, sit down. And the most amazing little trick that is quite simple when you think about it, but it was very new to me, was instead of, you know, sitting there talking to them, say, or, you know, telling them or suggesting what to do, or, you know, I like to manage things, so I can be like that. was to just commentate on what they were doing. So my kids loved trains at that age, and they were always building a train track, or my daughter had animals or whatever. So instead of, you know, being part of, you know, sort of directing their play a little bit, commentating and going, oh, you picked blue trains. Wow, look at the track. Or, oh, I see that you're heading the opposite direction now. Sounds completely lame. But what it is, that commentating on what they're doing is an incredibly effective and quick way for them to have their tanks filled up, because they feel seen in a way that they don't feel seen when you're just sitting there with them or just somehow directing their play a little bit. It's almost like you're a newscaster. And that changed things literally, shockingly, within 24 hours. The screaming completely stopped. And within a couple of days, I probably did those 10-minute stints several times a day. And what would happen again is after, you know, a week would go by and things would go really well, and then she'd start screaming again. And I think, oh my gosh, what have I been doing? And I realized I had had more phone calls that, you know, that week, or I'd had some evenings out where I was doing some training or something. So she really became a barometer for me to teach me what I, you know, that I was getting disconnected again. And because I was so familiar with disconnection, I didn't even recognize it. So I had a lot of learning to do in that. But what a gift it was for both of us. And it wasn't that many years ago, 2 years ago, actually, about now, my daughter, you know, she was 16. She grabbed me both hands as I was heading out to listen to a gentleman speak who was the guy I listened to who really got this ball rolling. And she grabbed my hands and she said, "Mom," it just still makes me cry. She's like, "Mom, would you thank him for me? Because it was him that changed our lives. He's why I'm alive," or something, just like, holy cow. And it just, you know, we both knew what that meant, because it was that learning of how to connect with my kids that is the point I look back on, where that fork in the road, where I know our family is different as a result of that understanding. So that really has leaked through sort of everything that we've done, where we've put our family ahead of things, like, you know, where we live anyway, sports is mad. People have their kids in sports and they're driving all over the countryside every day of the week and every weekend, and kids are busy and have no time to just relax and play and be creative. So we said no to a lot of that. And I talk to my kids now about it, you know, like, are you sad that, you know, you're not in soccer and you're not doing those things? Because here, if you don't get in it when you're young, you can't get in it when you're older. Yeah. Because you're a dork. You don't know what you're doing. But they've really said, you know what, as much as it would be fun some of the time, I'm glad that we have what we have, which is a great relationship. As much as I'm a business, you know, coach person, and I love business, it's so important that your business serve your family in the way that, because when your business comes and goes, it's your kids that are with you for life. So those investments are so worth it. And one piece I'd want you to take away from all the stuff I've said is that really focused connection with your kids takes less time than I think we think it does, or we tell ourselves. And a couple examples: when your kids are a little bit older, so that toddler play is easy, say, with that commentating. But say they're a little bit older, going for a walk is really critical. And specifically for boys, but it works really well for girls too, is walking has a brilliant effect on the brain. That right-left action of your feet actually is getting both hemispheres of the brain talking. And what that does practically is helps kids to access their emotions. And what happens when you ask them about how things are going, instead of getting that answer like, "Nothing, Mom," or they grunt or something, what'll happen is they're actually physiologically able to access how they feel about something better when they're walking. It's really cool. And having, you know, taking one kid for a walk instead of, you know, doing stuff together all the time really makes a difference. So I actually block off in my calendar, now that the kids are a little older, we actually homeschooled in the middle there for quite a while, specifically because of emotional development stuff. Hardest thing I ever did. And if anyone wants to talk about that, you can talk about that with me. But now that the kids are in school, I actually block off my calendar 30 minutes when they come home, specifically to connect and to hear what they have to say, to hear their words, because especially when kids are in school all day, where they've lived in school's a painful place, and they have to manage themselves all day. If the gift we can give our kids is that when they come home, they're able to just let it all hang out. There should be tears most days, especially in that age 8-9 age group. Coming home with tears is a beautiful thing, and they feel safe to let go. It means they can regroup and then gird themselves up again for the next day when they have to be around, you know, other kids that are hard to be around. Really, I find it hard. They find it hard.
Yeah.
So that scheduling really helps me to just not book stuff in there and block it off. Of course, family meals is another one. So anyway, that's all just around the connection piece and really following your heart with that. You know, you have an inner knowing in that area. I have a friend who massaged her teenager's feet every night. And she says, "You wouldn't believe what comes out of their mouth when I massage their feet."
It's so funny to hear that. My 10-year-old makes me rub his back. I think he just...
beautiful.
I think he fakes his sore back just so I can give him a massage.
Exactly. That's his thing. And so that's exactly the thing is find the thing with your kid and do it for them and know that is actually about connection. That's what they're really saying without saying it. So beautiful.
Yeah. Look, thank you so much for that. I think there's, you know, there's some gold in there. 10 minutes. I think you're right. The 10 minutes is, it's actually all they need. I remember my mum saying to me once, I remember saying to her actually first, I'm so exhausted, you know, I never get just to sit by myself. You know, the minute I sit down, because I'm moving and I'm cooking and then I'm juggling all the things, the minute I sit down, they're on top of me. And she said, well, look, dear. And I was like, when do I get space for me? And she said to me, what you need to do is you sit down first and let them sit and invest that time. You watch. Once they've had enough, and it's only about 10 minutes, they'll start to wander off and they'll find something else to do. And I thought, it's just so simple.
Yeah, we're not that interesting for that long.
No, that's right. Their attention span is actually really short. And then they have their cuddle and they can climb all over me, and then I can go off and do the things that I need to do. So I just think that's gold, and I love the commentating. I'm going to do that. take that one myself.
That's beautiful.
So I think you were talking about, you know, managing your time, and that's a good segue into your tip number three.
Yeah, calendar for me. I'm a recovering do-it-all time criminal, whatever you want to call that, where I easily overcommit. And that is based on lots of things, my personality, as well as, you know, just being a people pleaser. I learned that really well from my family of origin as well. So I feel like I'm recovering from that as well. So one of the ways that I really helped with that was really getting diligent with my calendar. And I use, for the salon, I actually use Google Calendar simply because it's just me. But every single thing is on there. I have one of the beautiful things about calendar systems these days, Google's one of them, is you can have a different calendar for everything. So I have all these colors. People look at my calendar and they're like, oh my Lord, it looks like a work of art because it's got like 8 colors on it. Because I have 8 different calendars, one for kids, one for family, one for the salon, one for volunteering, one for, I don't know, 6 other things that come up, consulting. So it's colorful and beautiful, which makes me happy. But what's most important about that is that I put all of those commitments in, but I also put stuff in you wouldn't usually think about. And that is, like, I put my morning routine and I put the driving time. I'm driving kids right now. As much as I can, I put my dinner prep in. If I'm going to be shopping, I put that in. If I'm going to have a moment with my husband, I actually put it in, like, we're going to go for dinner, or, you know, like, they can be really mundane things, but it's those really mundane things, if they're not in your calendar, you get overbooked and really quickly. And by blocking off, say, the dinner hour as an example, it really helps me not to overcommit, because I always say, let me check my calendar. We're pretty good at that in our business because our whole life is around our calendar. And it just gives me a bit of breaks. It causes my brain to slow down for a minute, because I notice just a second I've blocked off that we have a family dinner at that time. And there's certainly times when I don't do that. You know, I'm like, I'm saying yes anyway, because family dinner we can skip it that night. But at least because it's in the calendar, I'm not as quick to just book something right away. Sure. So that's kind of been a huge help in my recovery. And of course, in addition to that, I'm just checking in. Feels like every 3 months I'm changing my calendar. I'm changing my commitments. I'm saying no to stuff. I feel like I say no all the time already. But I get into stuff. It happens. It's just part of life, I think. But having that calendar is really what saves me, along with just checking in often about how it's feeling, how tight it's all feeling, which, life is busy. Yeah.
Now, I really love that technology allows us to do that. And I'm also a recovering workaholic. I love what I do, you know, and I love to be in that space. So the switching off is really hard. But yes, and from our industry, we're used to compartmentalizing our time. And getting that all in one calendar, totally vital. Now, luckily, technology allows us to do that. If you've got salon software, for example, Timely salon software syncs with your Google Calendar, and I use that. And lots of my salons use Timely, and it means that you can have your salon life, including your team, if you have a team, and your personal life and your multiple calendars all in one. And you can see it from the salon computer, or you can see it from your phone. And so that's a really great tip.
Changes everything. Yeah, and my family actually I share the calendar, whatever calendars I want with them. So they know where I am, what I'm doing, where they need to be. It's a beautiful family system too.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I suppose your kids are old enough to have their own calendar?
One of them does and one of them doesn't. But the one who doesn't, he knows he can go look at mine anytime.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not writing it out on the wall as well, because that's too much. Yeah.
I really love one of the things that you said, and that was the power around saying no.
Mm.
Do you think because, you know, a lot of people in the hair and beauty industry, we're in the service-based industry because we love to serve?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a challenge that we come across. Do you find that?
Yeah. I think no sounds so harsh to us because we are salon, anyone who does hair, anyone in this business loves people, loves to make them feel good, loves to make them happy, loves. So to say no, just that word sounds so harsh and abrasive that it goes against sort of our womanly training as well, that we need to be available and everyone else is first, all that kind of stuff. So figuring out what I want in order to be able to say no is a really important thing. But I think it's really helpful to have a lot of different ways to say no. Things like, you know, let me check my calendar, at least give a pause, you know, gives you a little more time. But also there's lots of ways to say no that don't sound like that. And I think some people, especially people who have temperaments that are really giving temperaments, there's just no way in God's green earth they're ever going to say no. Because it's going to make people angry, or, you know, it's just too much conflict it's going to create. So there's lots of ways to do that. I actually have something else I could share. It's actually from, I have a link to someone else's blog. She's got 25 ways to say no, and I can forward that on to that. I think is really a great resource to find some creative ways that work for you, and you'll end up with two or three that you fall back on all the time.
Really helpful. I really love that. I was having a conversation with one of my salon owners yesterday about squeezies. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I mean by squeezies. You probably know, but you know when we want to squeeze the client in and, you know, they want to become a full service salon and they want to do the full, the cut and blow it. But at the moment they provide a wet cut, no dry, and it's a slightly shorter amount of time, and they're evolving to a full service salon. And what happens to them often is that they'll have a half an hour gap or someone, and someone comes in and you know, they can't do them right now. There isn't the full amount of time, but they feel the pressure to squeeze them in. And what can happen is that the staff sometimes say, oh, well, look, I can squeeze you in, but we won't have time to do the blow wave, for example.
Mm.
What happens is it puts the pressure on the time. It puts pressure on everyone else in the salon. And the client gets half a service.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking yesterday about how can we say yes without having to say no,
mm-hmm.
and not put the pressure on, not squeeze that client in. So I will certainly put that link in the show notes. That's fantastic.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I love to tell, I have a few clients that are penny pinching or something, and they're like, well, would it cost less if you don't blow dry, or would it? It's like, yes. You know, there's just no service you can get that doesn't involve everything, because I won't send you out the door without a great service. So I need to check the cut dry. Like, there's so many things that that we can say. And then I always give people a lot. Thing is, the busier you are and as you grow, like I was at the point where I was booking 6 weeks out. If someone, first of all, nobody can squish in. But when someone does need to get in, letting them know that you've, you know, you can come back at this time is really good to have, having that. But I always have a referral available. You know what? I'm not able to help you for 3 weeks. And if you need to see someone before then, I'd recommend this person.
Yeah.
Just saves having that as your back in your back pocket just helps you be able to finish that conversation with elegance.
Oh, well, it's a yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I can do you in 3 weeks. And yes, if you need it before then, you can see this other lovely person.
Beautiful. I love that. Yes and yes.
Yes, I say that I want to be a yes salon. You know, everyone mm-hmm. can say yes and speak in the positive. It doesn't. You actually don't have to say no. The other one is that the blow dryer is complimentary.
Mm.
You can have the blow dryer or not have the blow dryer. The blow dryer is complimentary.
Love that language. Beautiful.
Yeah, and the price sits in the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, look, it's been super awesome. I know that I have got some awesome, busy, maybe slightly over-busy mums listening, so there is lots of gold to take away today. As we work towards wrap-up, why don't you share with us a quote or a mantra or something that you keeps you going as a business owner that that our salon owners will resonate with?
Well, it's a bit of a repeat, I think, of what I've said. And what comes to my mind that's always in my mind is do more of what you love and less of what you don't. And always be checking in. What is it I'm loving? am I still loving this? Because sometimes what we loved at one point, we don't love later. And then hire help, refer out, do whatever you need to do with the things that are draining you. And there's different seasons in life. So don't be surprised if what you used to love is starting to wane a little bit. And sometimes it's because we're exhausted and we need to hire out, you know, get help with something. And then our love might come back, might not. But just keeping always checking in with ourselves, I think, is just a gift to everyone, including and us, of course, the most.
That's awesome. Yep. And 3 monthly check-ins. I love that. All right. What's a book or a webinar or a podcast that you that has changed your life or that you've got something from that you can share?
So hard. There's so many. I did mention at the front end boundaries and probably that book. It's by Henry Cloud. Boundaries probably was the beginning of some really big changes for me, discovering that my frustration at other people's expectations of me, that, you know, they were kept asking me to do more and do more all the time. What was their problem? Discovering that actually it was me, it was my boundaries that was the problem, that I was saying yes to everybody, or, oh yeah, I'll do that, yeah. And I kept trying to please everyone and was losing myself in the process. So that was, you know, early on in my process, was a really life changer for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's fantastic. Now, I know people are going to come and want to find you and stalk you, as we do. But you actually have a mini mastermind that I'm sure that people will enjoy, the Peaceful Profit Plan. Tell us a little bit about that and where they can find it.
Okay, it's available at my website, laurenwhitworth.ca. I'm in Canada, which is why the ending is that way. And it's a 10-day free mini mastermind where you receive a template for designing your, you know, customized version for yourself of a peaceful profit plan that really outlines several areas, 3 to 4 areas in your business that you want to really zero in on for the next, you know, 30 days or so. And then we just get really strategic and specific about actions that you can be working on that kind of takes the, you know, the generalness of, oh, I want to get here, but specific actions about how you're going to get there. So the specific things people often end up working on is creating more time if they're feeling like their business is drowning them. Some people want to get more clients in the door and grow their clients on the front end. Sometimes it's just purely profit. And sometimes there might even be a family issue in there that is part of that plan. And then we work that through. There's an email every day, and then we do 2 group calls that you can jump on and ask your questions and hear from each other over the 10 days. So it's all there, laurenwhitworth.ca.
Sounds amazing. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us here at the Salon Owners Collective. I really appreciate your time. And I've had as many takeaways as I'm sure those of you who are listening. So thanks again, Lauren.
Thank you, Larissa. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.